Hello, church. Wow, if I haven't seen a better looking group of people, look at you guys, man. This church is packed. This is awesome. What a wonderful Sabbath to be here at church today. What a wonderful Sabbath. Guys, I don't know if it's because it's Saturday or if it's just because God's good, but today feels like a good day. And ladies and gentlemen, today we have a wonderful truth, a wonderful message that I am hoping and praying that it'll stick to our hearts and that it'll make us new creatures. And that by the end of our sermon today, that we can have a fire reignited within our life, that light on that hill. My prayer is that that light may shine brightly in that each of us, not some of us, but each of us may fulfill the role that God has for us. And so with this in mind, please, let's humble ourselves before the Lord in reverence and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, God, thank you so much, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord, because you could use any of us. And God, I just want to thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to be here and to share the little bit, God, that I've been able to understand. Please, Lord, bless the hearers today. Bless your children today. Speak to us, we pray, Lord. Please, in the name of Jesus, amen. The message of today is a message entitled Commissioned 2.0. What does it mean to be commissioned? What does it mean to have a mission in mind? What does it mean to have purpose? For you see, I would like for us to please turn to Matthew 28. Verse 16, please. Matthew 28, verse 16. And if you have a Bible, I encourage you to grab a Bible if you don't have one. And I encourage you to read the word with us today. Because we didn't come here to hear Alexi today. We came here to hear the Lord. And so, Matthew chapter 28. Verse 16 tells us. This is after Jesus has resurrected from the dead. This is after Jesus has taken sin by the neck and led it to dry on a cross. This is after Jesus, the firstborn, the second Adam, comes back to the earth and has quality time with his disciples. This is after Jesus was buried. And so Jesus, in Matthew 28, chapter 16 to 20, tells us, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountains which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. The last words that Jesus said, and he makes sure to let us know that these words aren't just for these 11 people. Guys, ladies and gentlemen, God had you in mind. I'm going to say it again. God, Jehovah, Adonai, Elohim, the Lord of Lords. Ooh. Jesus, King, he tells us in verse 20, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What a precious biblical truth. What a precious promise for us to hang our doubts, for us to hang our fears upon, that the Lord of all has declared and has stated by his own mouth that he is with us always, even to the end of the age. And so here we are in the time that we are living in, when the political world is in shambles, when the religious world is looking for a religious leader, when people are claiming global warming. Here we are in the midst of the famines and of the pestilence, of the rumors of war and rumors of peace. Here we are in that time where Jesus has described as the last days. What an opportunity. What a privilege. You know, the other day, I was listening to Martin Luther King's speech to the mountaintop, and it just struck me as some of the most powerful words I have ever heard in my life. You see, Martin Luther King, on the morning before the day of his assassination, had this dream where he saw the mountaintop. And during his last speech, he just wasn't sure if he was going to make it to the promised land. But he declared in front of all those people that day that he has seen the mountaintop. And ladies and gentlemen, we have a Jesus who has declared that he has seen the mountaintop. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. You see, Jesus has not left us empty-handed. He has given us a mission to go and to share this beautiful truth. And now, sister, now, brother, I ask, do we see the preciousness? Do we see the value of this truth that God has given us the liberty to know? I want you guys, please, to turn with me to Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1. And when we're there, please just say amen. Amen. Oh, whoa, that was fast. Okay. That's good. I like that. Oh, man, I'm getting excited. Is anyone else getting excited today? You know, guys, I just want to take this short time and I want to appreciate every single church member of this wonderful church. You guys have treated me with a love that I hope I was able to reciprocate to those around me. I just want to tell you guys that you guys have treated me and my family well, and I really hope that God blesses this church in return. Hebrews 1, verse 2. Hebrews 1, verse 2 says, well, let's just read Hebrews 1 and 2, okay? Okay, it says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken, what? Spoken to who? By who? Okay, time out, guys. What are we reading? I need us to really capture what is being said. I need you to look at your Bible, okay? And I need you to understand what the Word of God is telling us today. It says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he has made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Wow. 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 Do we see the type of God that we serve, ladies and gentlemen? Can we see this picture of God? Guys, he is eternal. He knows no beginning. And yet, he made himself to have a beginning for us. You see, this God, this Jesus who we are talking about today, is not a story of fiction. This is not man-made fairy tales. But rather, this is firsthand witnesses having a firsthand encounter with the Son of God. And today in 2021, we have an opportunity to be firsthand witnesses to the same God. What an honor and what a privilege God has given us to send his only begotten Son into this world. You see, when I started noticing these things, that Jesus is God, and that he became one of us, for me, I couldn't help it. I was completely moved. It changed my life. How could God become sin? How could God want to take his frame? God, he is spirit, and yet he takes his frame, his omnipresence, and he conceals it in this dirt. He conceals it in this dust. And he is born but a babe who is persecuted to be put to death because the devil knows that this ain't no regular child. No, no, no. The devil knows that this Son of Man is a Son of God. And for this Son of Man, for this Son of God, we should be grateful for and thankful. So I want to take a quick second, and I want to hear everyone here say praise the Lord. Ooh, there's power in unity. There is power in reaffirming ourselves that the Lord is who he declares he is. Verse 4 lets us know into a little bit more into the mystery, because I don't know how else to call it but a mystery. Verse 4 tells us, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. But man was created less than angels. But man was created less than angels. And yet, Jesus, the Son of Man, the second Adam, has, in verse 4, it says, becoming so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Why? Because verse 5 tells us, for to which of the angels did he, the Father, ever say, you are my Son, today I have begotten you? Guys, what does this mean for humanity? What does the fact that Jesus became flesh, what does the fact that Jesus has gained a higher and more important name than the angels mean for humanity? What does this mean for you and for me? Jump with me, if you will, please, to Hebrews 2. Our topic of discussion today is Commission 2.0. And all we're doing is getting a clearer picture of who has commissioned us. That's all we're doing, ladies and gentlemen. Because my goal today, or rather, I shouldn't say my goal, because it's not about me, it's about God. The goal of the Lord today is to light a fire in his home. The goal of the Lord today is to bring fire into our hearts. And so God, through his word, tells us, Hebrews 2, verse 1, says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Therefore, we have to pay attention. Therefore, we have to pay attention. Because what we have heard today, and verse 2 tells us, for if the word spoken through angels, through the angels, to the prophets, right? So if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, every transgression and disobedience received a just reward. So if the word shared through the angels to man receives its just reward, right? Verse 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And what is this great salvation? That Jesus became man. Jesus, God spoke to man before through prophets, through the angels. But now, it's through the Son. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own accord. Verse 9 of the same chapter tells us, but we see that Jesus has been given, I'm going to paraphrase everything that we just skipped over. Jesus is given a greater name than those than that of the angels. He's given a greater purpose, a greater mission. And so verse 9 tells us, but we see Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. What? Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. What a statement. You see, when Jesus died on that cross, we all heard this, man. We've all heard this. Some of us probably heard this for years. Who did Jesus die for? For the world. Singularly, he died for you. He died for me. We've all heard that Jesus has died for me. But brother and sister, today, I want to reemphasize it. I want to reemphasize it. He who knew no sin took on our flesh, walked around as a child, maybe not even fully understanding that he is the promised Messiah. Got around to the age of 12, and guess what? Things clicked for him. And so his parents left him behind, and they came looking for him, and they found him in the sanctuary doing what? Doing the business of the Father. Guys, this child found his mission, his purpose in the scripture. And from a young age, all the way to before he started his ministry, made it his mission to be prepared for his mission. And so then 40 days in the wilderness, no water, no food, no shade, hot. How many of us are Caribbean? Some of us know a thing or two about some heat. About some humidity just smacking you upside the face, and how there's no way to get away from that heat. He was in the wilderness 40 days. 40 days. No sunblock. No sunblock whatsoever. How many of us have been thirsty? Well, Jesus didn't even have a drink of water for 40 days because he was too focused. His focus was too laser-like. He was too determined because he knew that the fate of humanity hinges on him. So for 40 days, he refused to eat. He was tempted. And guess what? He prevailed. His own people denied him. Man, one of my favorite things to read is when Jesus first enters Jerusalem, when he tells his disciples to go get the mule and the horse and make a way for him. Then the children are singing songs of praise in the city, and the Pharisees are like, what are these kids singing for? This ain't no party. What's going on in here? I love to think that Jesus Christ filled Scripture all the way through. Why did he get the mule and why did he set this whole coronation in process? Because it was in the Word. And so he had to fulfill the Word. You see, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus fulfilled the Word. Jesus fulfilled the law. Jesus fulfilled the prophets and the testimonies of them. Because Jesus is the sum of all. Jesus isn't a prophet. He isn't a great teacher. He is God Almighty. And this God Almighty has left us something that has been protected. Something that has been protected through time. Almost as if it were to have armor. Almost as if it were to have a shield and a lance and a sword. God has protected the Word of God for those of us in 2021 so that we may know the Word of God. So Jesus was crowned with glory and honor for the suffering of death, that by the grace of God, all of us might be saved through his death. Verse 10 tells us, for it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies... Okay, time out. Okay. Let's get ready, guys, because this is, as the young kids say, this is going to be lit. This is fire that we are about to read. Okay, we are on verse 11 of Hebrews chapter 2. Okay, it says, for both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are what? All of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Whoa. You know, my mother and father have four children. I am the third. They were married. They had children. But I know friends whose parents weren't married. I know friends who were born in sin, as they say. I know friends and I know people whose father or mother wasn't there for them. So they grew up without a dad and without a mother. I don't know what story you have. But today, I'm here to tell you that regardless if your mom or your father wasn't there for you, Jesus is not ashamed to call you brother. Regardless of how you came to exist, Jesus is not afraid to call you brother. What a powerful message. Sometimes we judge people because of their origins in this world. There's some people who were born in crazy circumstances. Some people who are a result of, well, you know. And yet God calls us brother. So I immediately think of the story when Jesus was in the temple and his mother and his siblings came looking for him. And he said to them, these are my brothers and sisters and mothers right here. Guys, it don't matter how you came to be in this world because we are not here because your parents were together. We are not here because your mom and your dad had you. We are here because God willed it. We are here because God willed it. You are God's very own. So he gave Jesus for you, so you could have a chance to be with him forever. Doesn't get any better. And it doesn't get any more real and true than this, what we are hearing today. You see, Jesus wasn't your average man, but he was the Son of Man. And he said to those around him that he was the Son of Man. He said to those around him that he was the Son of Man. Why is Jesus calling himself the Son of Man? And why does that mean something to me? Why does that mean something to you? Verse 14 tells us, in as much then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Amen. Man, what a mission in life. I just want to tell people about God. And maybe get a few to be baptized and give their hearts up to them. That's all I want to do. But you know what Jesus did? He killed death. He made death die. He said, I didn't want this. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get rid of it. I just want a few people to get close to God. But God has killed death and has opened the way to everlasting life. How many of us believe that God has opened a way for everlasting life? Praise the Lord. Let the angels and the Holy Spirit be a witness that there are believers in Roseburg Church today. Let it be documented and written down that we believe that God is our brother, that we believe that God has our back. And with this in mind, let us not be afraid to tell people about he who died for me. Verse 16 of Hebrews 2 says, for indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Oh, man. Woo. What do you guys think? Amen. I want to see some smiles. I want to see some fist pumps. Yeah. God has given aid to the seed of Abraham. You know, this word seed is very interesting. Super interesting, as a matter of fact. Because this word seed, in its original language in Greek, means sperma. Sperma. Now you're asking yourself, what does that mean, Mr. Alexi? Good thing I wrote it down, right? This word sperma means something sown. For example, a seed. Or male sperm. By implication, offspring. Specifically, a remnant. Figuratively, as if kept over for planting. Okay. This word seed means something sown, including a male sperm, by implication, offspring. Okay, time out, guys. What's going on here? What am I trying to say? You see, there are two lineages of man in the book of Genesis. The children of Cain and the children of Seth. The children of Cain are known as the sons of God. Sorry, wrong people. Sons of men. The children of Seth, guess what they're known as? Sons of God. Okay, Genesis, what are you doing in my message? You see, God has not changed. Not one time. When Adam was formed, he was made of dust, and then God breathed into Adam, thus becoming a living man. When Jesus was born, he was made of dust in the womb of Mary and was breathed into and had life. When Jesus wants to remake man, how many of us are baptized today? Okay, that's a good number. I didn't see some hands go up, but guys, if this can encourage you to get baptized, then please do. You see, baptism is a process that's beautiful because it takes water. But if we're only baptizing water, then guess what? We just took a nice shower. But Jesus wants to baptize in water and in what? Spirit. See, because the Spirit does something. The Spirit plants the truth in our hearts, and it bears witness to our spirit that we are children of God. I didn't hear an amen. I'll say it again. It's okay. I'll say it again. Jesus, when we become baptized in water, is just water. But when we're baptized in Jesus and water and the Spirit, he plants the seed of the Holy Spirit in our life, and the Spirit bears witness to the truth. Amen. You see, we become literal offspring. Oh, come on. We become literal offspring to God. When you accept Jesus in your life, he plants the seed of truth. This seed is known as sperma, which means offspring. We are reborn. Nicodemus had a question for Jesus. Jesus, how can a man be reborn? Do I have to go back inside my mother? Jesus says, oh, come on, buddy. Halfway there, you forgot the spirit part. You see, oh, man. We all have an opportunity to be sons of God. What an honor. What a privilege to know that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And to know that Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father is talking about you and me. Come on, guys. He's talking about you and me. Today, when you prayed and you asked for forgiveness, today, when you prayed and you thanked God for waking you up, today, when you prayed, guess what? It was heard. And when you prayed to the Lord, guess what? The Father heard him too, because Jesus is talking for us. Because Jesus is praying on our behalf. Because Jesus has never left his brothers alone or empty. If you guys please now, jump with me to the book of John. John 1, verses 10 through 13. And it's funny because today in our Sabbath school lesson, it was about this covenant. And in a way, we're speaking about this covenant. In a way, we're touching on the truths of what this covenant does to the mind. On a way, we are literally discussing how we could become new people right now, right here, today. What an opportunity we have to become new, to be reborn. How many of us desire to be reborn today? How many of us were baptized in water, but aren't you sure if we were baptized in that spirit part? Well, ladies and gentlemen, today, the Holy Spirit is here today. And he is ready to perform a work. He is ready to have our church become a lighthouse. And what an opportunity to take advantage of. We have Pastor Torres and his school going around the community, knocking on doors, building up interest. There is guaranteed to be at least one or two who are interested. And where there is one or two who are interested, God is there. And if God is there and we partake in his work, blessings are guaranteed. How many of us want to be blessed today? Guys, this is the moment. This is the moment that Satan has been dreading for his people to wake up and to realize that he who has commissioned is the Son of Man. Satan has been dreading for us to come to this realization that Jesus really is who he says he is. And since he said who he says he is, he will follow through with his word. John 1, verse 10 to 13 tells us, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born, right? All of us were born, right? And look, verse 13. And I want you to witness it for yourself. Verse 13, it says, who were born, right? But then it says, not of blood. So I need you to look at if your parents are here, but look, mama, I'm here because God wanted me to be here today. Tell your mommy that. Mama, I'm here because God wanted me here today. When my parents had me, I didn't know that it wasn't for them. It was for the glory of God. You see, God had to teach me a lesson I had to learn when I was young. And I praise God that I learned it when I was young. Growing up in the East Coast, growing up in the city, sometimes the environment can be a little rough. Sometimes you're exposed to certain things that a child should not be exposed to. But what can you do? It's how the cards I was dealt with. It's how I grew up. But despite of the enemy trying to cloud my judgment, despite of the enemy trying to have me drown in my own sorrows, despite of the enemy roaring like a hungry lion, searching for who to devour, guess who rescued me? Just guess. Take a wild guess. Ooh, what a great name we have to honor and to worship. When no one noticed me, and I was in my room alone, and I asked God to show me what my purpose is, to show me why am I in this God-forsaken world, he told me a simple truth, and this truth I carry with me till this day. He said, I am your father, Abimael. He called me by my name. He said, what is your name? And when I found out that my name means my father is God, oh, I was completely humbled. I was crying before for the wrong reasons. But when I found out that God is my father, I was crying for the right reasons now. Because I saw, how could God see me? This roof is over my head. My door is closed. I'm not even praying out loud. How could he see me in my room? This God, my Lord and Savior, my King of Kings, yes. This God was in this world and the world knew him not. But verse 12 tells us, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. And verse 13 tells us, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We are here because God wants us here. We have a chance to get to know the Creator on a personal level because he loved me more than my mother and my father. Because he has loved us more than anyone in our life. Verse 14 says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, John, the beloved, understood he was in the presence of God. He believed it. He believed it. Do we believe that when we come to the Lord, we are in the very presence of the Lord? Do we believe it? And if we believe so, it's time for us to grow in boldness. It is time for us to grow in confidence. It is time that we start asking the Lord to bless us. It is time that we start asking the Lord to help us love how He loves. It is time that people start noticing something different about us, because we do not follow Jesus in word only, but in deed and in truth. And so we see in this verse that God has willed us to be. There's another instance that I could think of where God willed man to be. That was in creation. When God said, "Let us make man in our image," and thus Adam was formed. When God created Adam, His plan for the human race was way different than what it is now. But when Jesus was born, Jesus took the place of Adam in our flesh. Jesus and Adam, same birth, right? Their father was God. Their mother was dirt, essentially. Not to say that, well, yeah, we are dirt, because when we die, we turn into dust. It's that breath that makes us living, right? And so then Jesus and Adam were created in the same fashion. So then Adam is given a bride out of his side. And so Jesus is given a bride out of his side. When Jesus is pierced on the cross, blood and water shoot out. When a woman gives birth, blood and water shoot out. And then the creature, this new being, is born. And so Jesus married humanity because He took our flesh. So humanity as a collective whole is His body, is His Eve, is His church. And individually, we are the sons of God through birth. Somebody need to say amen today. You see, when we take God for His word, He plants inside of us a seed of truth that will germinate if we give God the room in our heart. You see, when we see that Jesus is our second Adam, that He's our husbandman, then it makes it personal, because what man doesn't love his wife? And this is a man who's been faithful to his wife. And so then each individual makes up the children of God. And there are only two types of children in this world: the children of God and the children of man. Who here today wants to be a child of the Lord? Amen, amen, amen. You see, but a child of the Lord doesn't just stop at being born. Because a child of the Lord must grow spiritually. And Jesus wants us to grow in faith and in confidence, knowing that He will take care of us, that He will give us love to love our neighbor. And what greater love is there than for a man to lay his life for his brother? And what greater love is there than Jesus giving His life for His brother? Isn't it time that we sacrifice a little bit for the glory of the Lord? Isn't it time that we love a little harder for the glory of the Lord? Isn't it time that we pray a little harder for the glory of the Lord? And this isn't for any age group. You could be 6, you could be 7, all the way to however old you are. This is for everyone. This is for everyone. Now, please flip with me, if you will. We're going to go back to Matthew 22, 36 through 40. Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40. Okay. We're still talking about Jesus. We're still talking about being commissioned. I don't want people falling asleep on me now, because this is way too awesome for people to be tired. If you're tired, you want to stretch, come on, let's get up and stretch a little bit, you know? Shake the legs, you know, let's get some blood flowing, because, guys, we are learning some biblical truths that are important for us to ingrain in our mind so we can walk around with boldness, so we can walk around in confidence, so we can walk around and that others may see that God is with us. That's all I want. 1 John 3, I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. Matthew 22, verse 36. Now, this is Jesus having a conversation, a good old conversation with his buddies, the Pharisees. The Pharisees just loved Jesus. They loved having him around and feeling that he, for some reason, had a superior spirit than them. It clouded their judgment. The Pharisees couldn't stand Jesus because he brought something that they didn't bring. You see, the Pharisees were bringing the works of their hand through the law. They were following the law to the T, giving tithes on mints and on offerings and spices and all this good stuff. But yet, there was something missing, and that was love. And so, Jesus paints this beautiful picture for all of us to contemplate. He says in verse 36, the teacher of the law comes to Jesus and he says, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And this man who's asking this question is a lawyer. So Jesus answers and says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." On what two commandments hang all the law and the prophets? Love God and love man. What does it matter if I know all the doctrine down to the bone, my man? What does it matter if I could speak in tongues and have not love? What does it matter if I keep the Sabbath if I have not love? What does it matter if I know what happens to the dead? If I know what happens to hell and in heaven and in a thousand-year millennia? What does it matter if I do not have love? Means nothing. I am just sounding brass and cymbal. That has been one of my biggest fears in life. Could you imagine just being an empty instrument, making noise, but having no purpose? God, please liberate us of that. Please. We don't want to be sounding brass and cymbals. We want to be instruments for the glory of God. Amen? Jesus tells us perfectly that the law and the prophets hang on love. It's good to know the Bible, but it's better to know the God of the Bible. It's good to know the law and the prophets, but it's better to know the God of the law and of the prophets. And he is summed up in the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. What a guy. What a man. What a man that I could come to contemplate the love of Jesus. What a man that I could come. If I ever had a question of the heart of God, guess who I can go to find out? Jesus. If I ever had a question about the suffering that I've experienced, guess who I could go to find out? Jesus. And if there's any doubt in your mind, there's any concern, if there's anything that is derailing you from following God with all your heart and loving him with all your soul and all your mind, guess who you can come to? Jesus. Is that not a good God? Is that not worthy to be praised? On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Jesus understood this, and so he lived just like it. Jesus' testimony won him more people than him following the law. Because he followed the law, and guess where that got him? To the cross to die. So his testimony meant more than what he believed in. Our testimony means more than what we believe in. Guys, this is a beautiful calling to the truth. This is awesome. We have this opportunity to partake in something that not everyone has partook in. We have the chance to be a light onto this world to others. Angels wish that they could do the work that we have. Angels wish that they could understand the plan of redemption. Angels wish that they could understand what it means like to be in sin and to be pulled out by the mighty hand of Jesus. Jump with me, please, to 1 John 3. For he who commissioned us is worthy to be praised. He who commissioned us is worthy of honor. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1 tells us, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now are we children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. John understands that there's a mystery to us having, to us sharing the same flesh as Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a mystery to us being brothers to Jesus. We don't yet see what this implies because we're stuck in this world of sin. We can only see the problems around us. We can't see the greater picture. We can't see what's and who we're going to be in heaven. We don't know what our new name is going to be, so we can't have an idea of what our mission is. We don't know the heavenly beings who are looking at us from the heavens, looking down. We don't know the heavenly beings who are seeing our life and who are being impacted by the decisions that we are taking. We don't know the angels who have fought tooth and nail for our salvation. We just don't know. We just don't know what the greater mystery of being linked to Jesus is. But all I know is that he calls me brother. But all I know is that he died for me. All I know is that he found me when I didn't know I was lost. That's all I know. So there is a message to preach. First John, verse 9 tells us, whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. See, this word seed comes back again, and it means the same thing as before. When we are baptized in the Spirit and in truth, guys, we're being baptized into the family of God. That needs to be understood. And if we are baptized in the family of God, it isn't until we remove ourselves, then we are no longer in the family of God. Because sin removes us from being part of the family of the Lord. So what can we do? What can we do? Well, good thing we have the word of God to tell us and to guide us, right? Verse 14 tells us, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren, and he who does not love his brother abides in death. We know that we are in God's family when we love the brother. It's time for us to love the brother. It is time for us to love the neighbor, to love the stranger. It is time for us to love with a love that is bold and confident. It is time for us to love with love that is full of conviction, not just in saying, but in deed and in truth. Verse 18 tells us, "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." And verse 23 says, "And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us." Brother and sister, God has left us something. When Jesus left, he did not leave his church, his temple. And by temple, I'm talking about you. He did not leave you empty. When Jesus went to heaven, he did not leave us empty-handed. But rather, the verse tells us, this is his commandment, verse 23 now, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Now he who keeps his commandment abides in him, and he, referring to Jesus, in him. And by this we know that he, Jesus, abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Have you ever doubted that Jesus is in you? Have you ever doubted that the Holy Spirit lives within you? Guys, we are learning a beautiful truth. This world has these new religions that they like to offer. They like to talk about this new age spirituality. They like to talk about these reincarnations. They like to talk about how I can have these rocks that can help align my chakras and my roots and get me aligned with him, that with the greater self. Guys, Jesus is defeating any philosophical idea, any theological idea that a man can somehow think of. Jesus has a better one. Because Jesus wants to make you new. Because Jesus wants to make you new, a new man. Because Jesus wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit. What an honor to think that God wants me filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is an idea that I struggle with sometimes, because how could I see that? How could I possibly think and fully believe that God has given me the Spirit to fully dwell in me? And if the Spirit is in me, then Jesus is with me. And if Jesus is with me, then the Father is with me. Because that's how it is, right? You see, right now we don't see the Spirit, but he is in us. And right now we don't see Jesus, but he is coming for us. And right now we don't see the Father, but the Father is waiting for us. Oh, I might have said it wrong. Okay, let me say it again. Okay. The Godhead is fully invested in the children of God. The Godhead is fully invested in the sons of man. So what did Jesus do on our behalf? He married us. He took that covenant and he made divinity and wrapped it in this flesh. So he felt pain. His knees ached. His back ached when he was whipped, when he was spat on, when he took that long, rugged cross, that walk to the Golgotha. He did that as a man for us. And as a brother on our behalf, he leaves us not empty-handed. He gives us the Spirit of God. We read about the Spirit of the Lord in the Old Testament, how it shut the heavens and rain wouldn't fall for years. We read about how Simon walked on the face of the waters because he believed that God, he had his eyes focused on God. We believe that Daniel and his friends were thrown into a fire and were chilling, not even scorched. We believe that Jesus took care of the Israelites for 40 years in the desert, and not one foot was sore, not one back was ached, not one garment was old. If we believe then, why can't we believe that we are filled with the Spirit of God today? Jesus gives us his Holy Spirit to convict us of the truth, that seed that was planted in us by that great gardener, Jesus Christ. And the Father is waiting for us. How many of us have longed to see the Father? Oh, man, I've thought about how could the face of the Father look like. I thought about, man, I wonder what it would be like to stand in the presence of God, to have his eyes that pierce through time, through history, to look into the eyes of he who created everything. How could I even stand before him? And yet he is waiting for us. See, we have a truth that is rich, a truth that is worth more than his weight in gold. And we have a special message to share today. And I just want to encourage us to remain in this faith. I want to encourage us to remain in this knowing and beholding Jesus and seeing how Jesus has made me his through bloodshed. To see how Jesus had gave his life so that I may have a chance of salvation. See, the angels picked, so salvation for them wasn't given. But we didn't choose. None of us chose to be here. We didn't ask for life. Remember, God willed us. If God cares for the sparrow, how would he not care for us? If God is willing to give his only son, how could he not care for us? Okay, guys. This is such a good message. I love sharing this because this is what helps me. When I get up in the morning and I think about this and I believe it, it's not just thinking about it, it's about believing it. When I believe that Jesus calls me brother, me, God, why are you so mindful, man? How could you think of me? And when I believe that Jesus has a message to get out, when I believe that God has so much love to give that he gives it to us so that we may give it to others, man, it moves me. It moves me because I know no greater joy. I never met anyone who could give me this type of purpose. I thank God for the honor and for the privilege that I've had of being a Bible worker. It has been a blessing, oh my gosh, that everyone could do it. I wish that everyone could try to be a Bible worker at least one time in their life so they could see how God moves. When you see God do things that only God could do, you look back and you're like, that was God. He healed me. He protected me. He guided me. That was God. And I wish that all of us had that encounter and that experience so that way our faith may become strong. So that way we can know that when we build our faith, we are not building on sand. We're not building at the beach. We are building on a firm foundation. Yes, we are. That when we behold God, we are not building on the sand, but we are building on the chief cornerstone. Okay, guys, hang in there. Okay, hang in there. Hang in there. 1 John 5. It gets better. It gets even better. I don't know how it gets better. It just does. 1 John 5. And I hope you guys have been taking notes because I want you guys to go home. I want you to look in the mirror and I want you to tell yourself, you know what? I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. When you go home today, I want you to walk with a little bit of pep in your step. And I want you to reassure yourself that God has died for you and has given you eternal and everlasting life. When you go home today, I want you to contemplate what we have discussed today. I want you to think how Jesus, God himself in the flesh, humbled himself and became like one of us. I want you to think about how, I don't know, I'm 28 years old. I work. I got some aches. My lower back hurts sometimes. My foot hurts sometimes. And I'm thinking to myself, man, I'm human, huh? I'm very, very human. And I'm thinking to myself, I bet you Jesus had some very, very human experiences. One of those mornings when after feeding 5,000+ people and only sleeping like 4 or 5 hours, I'm sure he was sore and tired some days. And yet, 1 John 5:1 tells us, whoever believes that Jesus the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him, who begot, also loves him who is begotten of him. Whoever loves Jesus loves God, and whoever loves God loves Jesus. By this, we know that we love the children of God, when we love and keep his commandments. See, before I used to think that being commissioned was just about going out and making disciples, about going out and sharing the word of God with others. But the more time I've spent in the word, the more I see that it's not about, it is about works, but it's more about love. For love motivates the hands to do something. You see, when Cain brought his offering before the Lord, he brought the fruits of his hands. When Abel brought the offering before the Lord, he brought exactly what God wanted. And God wants love and then works. Not works and then love. Verse 4 says, For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Woo! How many of us will overcome this world? Not in our faith, not in our strength, but by the strength of who? It tells me right here, I'm not going to overcome this world through my own effort. It's going to be through what Jesus did for me. Guys, Jesus has overcome the world. And if Jesus, my brother, has overcome the world, then he has by inheritance. He who sanctifies is sanctified also. He who is making, who is doing a good work into making us into his image is made perfect. So if we accept what Jesus has done, then we by association then are holy before the sight of God. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. Wow, all I got to do is believe. And then once I believe, all I got to do is start working on this heart. I got to start asking God to take out that concrete, to take out that excess of dust that makes me a human. And I need to ask God to put in me that spirit that gives life. The word spirit, Holy Spirit in his Greek, the definition is immortal soul. Immortal breath, breathes. The Holy Spirit is an immortal soul that is living within a mortal man. No wonder that when Jesus comes back, Paul says that in the twinkling of an eye, corruptible will put on incorruptibility. No wonder, because it's already there. God wants to make you a new man and a new woman. When Jesus said he is the way and the life, this life that Jesus is talking about doesn't expire in 100 years. This life that God, that Jesus is talking about is eternal. And Jesus wants to bestow upon us eternal life today. How many of us are willing to accept Jesus as our brother? How many of us are willing to accept the gift of everlasting life, the gift of this adoption through the Spirit? And how many of us are willing to do something about it? Praise the Lord. Guys, we have the opportunity of a lifetime. Pretty soon, Pastor Torres and his group of people, they're going out into the community and they're seeking souls to be delivered. It is time for the church to stand up. It is time, praise God. It is time for the church to become passionate and know that I am not here out of custom. I don't come to church on Sabbath because it's cool. No, I come to church because God has delivered me. Now, this is the last message I ever give in the world. I just want you guys to know that God has provided the whole entire time I have been fortunate enough to do this. that God is able to use the weakest among us. And I know from experience, because I'm not worthy to do such a beautiful work, but yet God gives us the chance. And today God is calling all of us to come forth, to give our hearts to Him, so that way this world can see, man, that Jesus is real. So this world can have some hope. This whole pandemic thing and whatever else the enemy has in line, that's just little things. Because when we get to heaven, we're going to be like, oh, I would have suffered 5,000 lifetimes to have one day in heaven. And I pray that that is our conviction, that we may be convicted that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son for us. And if this is your conviction, if this is what you feel in your heart, I ask that you please may close your eyes, bow your head, and whoever is willing, I just want you to raise your right hand. But I don't want no one to listen, guys. Please don't raise your right hand because I'm saying it. I'm asking this for those who are convicted, okay? For those who are convicted that Jesus Christ is calling them. For those who are convicted that we are accepted into the family of God because Jesus called me brother. For those of us who are convicted today that we are not leaving the city, let us bow our heads and raise our hands and let us pray to our Lord and Savior. Dear Jesus, thank you so much, God. What is man? Who am I? Who are we, God? That you, the creator of everything, is paying attention to us. God, we are so full of sin. We fall so far away from you, Jesus. And yet, there you are, calling us to return to you. Jesus, please help us to return to you. Strengthen our feet, God. The conviction that is in our heart, Lord, may be like an arrow that pierces the deepest parts of our hearts, of our joints, and of our asunders, God. Dear Lord, put a fire within us. For God, I long to be home, and I long to see you, Lord. Please, Lord, help us to partake of this wonderful news, of this wonderful message that we have, God. Please, Lord, help us to be brave. Help us, Lord, to be courageous and put a face for our brother, Jesus, who made all of this possible for the human race. Dear Jesus, you gave up everything for me. God, please, please, please. Help me give a little for you. Be our fire, be our God, be our fortress, be our refuge, Lord. Free us from these shackles of sin and help us to see, Lord. Please help us to see that you are with us and that we can walk in confidence and in boldness knowing, Lord Jesus, that you go before us. Thank you, God, for your love. Thank you, God, because you call us yours. In your name we pray. Amen.